Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. We have something pretty special, a little different today.
A little different.
Yeah. As you know, we've been trying to shout out listeners and other people we think are doing cool things at the end of episodes.
And podcasts. Other podcasts.
Including podcasts, which Samantha has been spearheading. That kind of came simultaneously with another topic we wanted to talk about and a podcast that we shouted out. Because as we record this, not as you hear it in classic Sminty fashion.
Of course.
It is Native American Heritage Month, November.
I feel like we're a little closer on a time frame now than we have been before.
we're closing in.
Although a little better.
Now I think it's just our thing.
Maybe.
So maybe we should just stick with it. This is so confusing because the episode we're talking about hasn't published yet, but you should have heard it by now.
Right.
Somebody we shouted out has an amazing podcast, Some Kind of Brown podcast.
Yes. Natalie Evans is doing a fantastic job with Some Kind of Brown. She's been on, I think, a year and a half, is what she said.
Yeah.
It's a podcast about multiracial, biracial, and many multicultural ideas behind and what it's like to be in that life or in that moment or however she identifies as Indigenous Black. Mm-hmm. And she is very, very obviously passionate about Indigenous and Native people and wanting to have their stories told, mm-hmm. which is, I think, is very important as well. And, of course, I mentioned a couple of times because, you know, I don't hear it often, but she does include interracial adoption as a part of her conversation, too. And I love that mm-hmm. because, and I think I've talked about this often, I feel really confused about my identity a lot of the times because my identity is conflicting to what I grew up with who I am, my actual ethnicity. And so what she's doing is just fantastic. And also she's looking into the LGBTQ plus world and being inclusive. And I love all of the things. And I feel like it's very much in the spirit of Sminty and what we want to do and what we want to talk about. And yeah, so when we saw her podcast and I was very excited about she was doing Red November, mm-hmm. which was highlighting the hashtag MMIW or the missing and murdered Indigenous women mm-hmm. and talking about those conversations and trying to bring a lot more highlights. And I know you did an episode as well.
Yes.
So it just fit and aligned perfectly that we try to connect.
Yeah.
And she was so willing. And so we were so excited to have her on the show.
Yeah. And one of the things we asked of her was to talk about some women famous, well, maybe not famous, but they should be famous,
right.
Indigenous women that we all should know more about. And she was great at a list, like, how many? I could go on and on. But we do want to say before we get into this, just a general disclaimer, and we do mention this in the interview, but history is tricky mm-hmm. when it comes to, I mean, just in general, honestly, but also when it comes to colonization. In the United States, sources can be hard to come by. And also, pronunciations.
Difficult.
Yeah, because there's no source. Like today, a peek behind the scenes, what I do, I go to a pronunciation website. If it's not on there, then I go to YouTube and try to find somebody saying
right.
whatever it is. That doesn't necessarily exist
right.
for the women that we're going to talk about. So we tried our best. and feel free to write is if you know.
Yeah.
Feel free to write in and let us know. Let us give us a gentle correction.
Right.
We'll take it in stride.
Yeah, gentle. gentle.
Yes. But yeah, let's hop into the interview.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Natalie Evans, and I am the host of Some Kind of Brown podcast. My podcast is mostly about mixed and multiracial life, cultural issues, and current events that are going on, and exploring what it really means to come from a multicultural or multiracial, sometimes biracial, ethnic background, and what that really means. So we cover everything from reconnecting to cultures to accepting some of the negatives or how to deal with things like, you know, the normal things like people putting their hands in your hair and not having boundaries. There's a lot of things that kind of fall under that umbrella. But for me specifically, I am reconnecting with my Native Indigenous side. So I get to document that through my podcast. And it led to my Red November project, which I think is how you found me and what we're talking about today.
Right. And can you explain a little bit about your Red November project? Because, yes, that is one of the things I was like, ooh, this is awesome.
Red November is an absolute passion project for me. It's something that I've wanted to do since I started. I say that like I've had a podcast for a long time, had it for a year and a half. But it is a series that focuses on the MMIW, or Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, Two-Spirit People movement. And it kind of approaches this systemic problem from the angle of different Native, non-binary, and women in our different perspectives. I talk to people from all different walks of life and how it affects us and some of the problems when we're looking at the MMIW movement, why it's so necessary, and the fact that we can't find any information on the women who are missing, and the fact that we very, very rarely do any of these cases or women get any kind of publicity, is something that's very painful and something that is slowly coming to light. And I'm really excited to see that people are listening.
Awesome. And we have you on here today because I would say the work that you do is fantastic and important. And we wanted you to kind of have a platform here with us to talk to us about these different fights, I guess is the best way we can put it, and movements that you are specifically pushing through and trying to get noticed for, which is awesome. And your own podcast, which try to highlight the different cultures as well as the difficulties and the issues of being multiracial, biracial, all of those things. And you had even included interracial adoption, which applies to me. Mm-hmm. And I was very excited to see that, which we highlighted your podcast on, well, an episode that's coming that we haven't published yet, but yeah. has already recorded.
It's there. It just doesn't exist publicly yet, but
it's
it
coming.
Will.
I did acknowledge it's happening. So today, I asked you to come on because it is Native American Heritage Month.
Yes. Yay. As we record this.
As we're recording, because by the time this is published, it's over. We're a little late.
But it's always
usual.
Time to talk about it. Always good to talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, as we should.
Yes.
And so you came on and you actually sent us a giant list, which I love.
Yeah.
With things that you want to talk about, people you want to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah.
Okay. You told me that originally you were thinking about talking about historical Native figures, particularly women or Two-Spirit people.
Yes.
And you say massive list, but this is just a tiny, tiny little list of amazing women that you can look into.
That's true.
In a lot of Native cultures, women are kind of the bearers of tradition. A lot of these women who stand out in history were also warriors. Most of the tribes are matrilineal, which means that plans and traditions are passed down from the mother. It's something that was very, women were very equal or sometimes a little higher in certain tribes. But as colonization and the boarding schools and residential schools tried to westernize the culture, that's one of the things that kind of leaked in, but is being worked on now. The Haudenosaunee Confederacy, or the Iroquois mm-hmm. Confederacy, they are probably one of the most matrilineal groups that I've heard of. Mm-hmm. As a group of nations, they just have more female-led traditions.
What are some of those traditions?
One of them, like I said, is clans passed down from the mother. So if your mother was born in one clan and the father is in another, it's the mother's clan, kind of like last name, but different.
Right.
They also have a lot of medicine. There's a lot of women who are famous for being medicine women.
Yeah.
So those are two of the biggest things. Women as leaders and warriors and mothers. That's just a very revered position in Native culture.
So yeah, let's go ahead and talk about some of these women. And you're right, it's not a very vast list. It should be way, way, way more. And there are obviously way, way, way more. But for our time and purposes, yeah. Let's start with some of the big figures and names that you want to talk about.
Okay. We have Piperina, Buffalo Calf Road Woman. That's her name. Elizabeth Wanamaker, of course, I can't pronounce the Perotrovich, the Polish-sounding name of all the things. I could not find the pronunciation of her Thinkit name, so I unfortunately can't say that one. Oshtish, Kalasa, and Madonna Thunderhawk. They're all from different groups. And actually, two of them fought on opposite sides, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But Piperina is the first person on my list, and she is of the Tongva tribe, located in the Los Angeles basin. And there's a little bit of controversy over what the tribe is called, because one, they're not nationally recognized, and two, the government called the tribe something else. It's been very interesting. Colonization's a problem mm-hmm. for records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she was a medicine woman who opposed Spanish rule. When she was 9, the Spanish colonizers invaded. Is colonizers too strong a word?
No.
I don't know.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Keep going with it.
I don't like to call... There's a group of people who are using colonizers to talk about current people, mm-hmm. and I think that's a little too harsh of a narrative when you're trying to talk about inclusivity and awareness mm-hmm. and education, but these are actual colonizers.
Right, so colonizers. Yes. You're good.
Okay. They made it their goal, of course, to convert the people and erase their cultural practices. I'm sure at the, like, 4 pages in everyone's history book makes it clear why the poor Native Americans needed to learn the Western way. Mm-hmm. And any attempts to resist assimilation or conversion resulted in harsh beatings, torture, and they could even be killed. Things reached their breaking point when traditional dances were banned, and Toyprina helped unite 6 villages to attack the San Gabriel mission. Even though their attacks failed, Toyprina was seen as a witch. She resisted. In the end, she was baptized and exiled, I can only imagine against her will, but she is still a figure of bravery and leadership and very celebrated.
You were that there's a play based on her?
According to the research I found, there is a play about her life.
That would not surprise me.
Yeah, it premiered at the San Gabriel Mission Playhouse in 2014 and toured California in 2016. And also, apparently, there's a short film about her life, and a book called Zorro has an homage to her by Isabel Allende. Yes.
A Chilean author.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she's not someone, unfortunately, I had never heard of her before.
Right. I haven't either.
But I like that there's increasing awareness about her and that there's this art being made about her.
I have seen a lot of artworks that are that have been made. And that, I think, unfortunately, unless you're looking for her, most of the people in Los Angeles basin or in that area know of her, and that's about it.
Right.
Which is the case sometimes. But I don't know. All of these women, their stories are like bittersweet when you read about them.
Right.
On the one hand, you feel a bunch of pride from reading about their strengths and the things that they were able to do. But at the same time, we kind of know how this story goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And as much as it's been romanticized, the truth of the matter is it's pretty horrifying, the narrative in itself.
Yeah.
All right. So the next woman you had on your list was Buffalo Calf Road Woman, which is an intense name.
Mm-hmm.
And that is her only name.
Wow.
So her name in Northern Cheyenne. I couldn't find how to pronounce it, but she is of the Northern Cheyenne tribe. And if you've heard of the Battle of Little Bighorn, I don't know how many people have, but I got AP US history in high school, so I'm fancy and I know stuff.
Yeah.
Super fancy.
But yeah, you should have heard about Buffalo Calf Road Woman. If you don't know it by name, you probably have heard of Lieutenant Colonel Custer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So even if you don't know the battle, you know of him. And she was the one who knocked him off of his horse before he died.
Wow.
Dang.
I shouldn't be proud of that, but I kind of am.
I would be too. I mean, come on.
Not that I should celebrate anyone's death. Well, this is not actually her first display of prowess as a warrior. She also fought in the Battle of the Rosebud. And the Cheyennes call this battle the battle where the woman saves her brother, I believe, because they were losing, and her brother, the chief, comes in sight, was injured, and she turned her horse around, galloped full tilt into the deep of the fighting, and saved her brother. The Lakota and Cheyenne, who were fighting together, joined forces under Crazy Horse, were inspired by her bravery, and turned around and won the Battle of Little Bighorn. She also fought alongside her husband, Black Coyote. And after the battle, she and her family were captured, unfortunately, and relocated. But she's another woman whose fighting spirit is an inspiration for some of us Native women and people in general. She is such a boss.
Right.
She went through all these things. She fought in these battles. She proved her prowess as a warrior. And her husband, while in jail, she died from diphtheria or malaria.
Yeah.
We're not sure which. Like, after everything she's been through, that's going to take her down.
Right.
Really?
But I mean, like, this kind of sounds about right as you come through that type of colonization and the diseases that was brought by those types of people that had actually killed many of tribes and many of indigenous people at that point in time. And it is sad, but, you know, she couldn't be taken down outside of a force of nature.
I guess it's sad, but also, if you look at it, no person could take her down.
That's exactly. Kind of, she was too
nice
strong for people.
To put on it.
Yeah. That's what I was like. She's too strong for the individual man.
For that silver lining.
I'm just saying. It couldn't be done by man. So, other shit happens. Beep.
Oh, my gosh. This is totally unrelated, but my brain immediately went to Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
See?
Okay.
Oh, we like that reference. Go ahead with that reference.
Because one of the leaders of the Black Riders couldn't be killed by a man and was killed by a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
That's the way.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I am no man. Okay.
Oh, that was so good.
It was good.
It was. Spot on.
Don't get us off track about stuff like that. We love
pop culture references.
We love those references. and classics, Lord of the Rings. Come on. So going on. So it's Elizabeth Wanamaker Petrovich.
I literally looked up more of the native pronunciations of their names than I did on that one.
So we'll just say Petrovich.
Which is not fair. I don't know.
That's fine.
I prefer to call people by their indigenous or native names.
Understandable.
Personally.
Understandable.
She is part of the Tlingit tribe, and someone can at me if I'm pronouncing that wrong because it's spelled completely differently. but they're in Alaska. She was adopted at a young age, and one of the reasons why I really wanted to use her name, her original Tlingit name, is because she only got the name Elizabeth Wanamaker after she was adopted, mm-hmm. which kind of breaks my heart, part of that whole erasure thing. Mm-hmm. And she gained that wonderful, is it Polish? I have no idea. Last name from her husband, Roy, but they were both Native, and they became the grand president of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood. And they eventually moved to Juneau, and we're confronted by the No Natives Allowed signs all over the place. There are some signs that say no dogs and no natives. Like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So frustrating. Mm-hmm. But Elizabeth saw this and was determined to bring change. So she drafted and presented the Anti-Discrimination Act. And it was first shot down. And she, in 1943, I believe, and she put it before or the Senate in 1945. And just to kind of paint a picture of what she was like, I kind of have to say a quote from someone who's not very nice. So to give you a picture of the kind of discrimination that Natives face in Alaska, Senator, or then-Senator Alan Chassett, felt comfortable enough to say, and I quote, "Far from being brought close together, which will result in this act, the races should be kept further apart," he said. "Who are these people, barely out of savagery, who want to associate with us whites with 5,000 years of recorded civilization behind us?"
Ugh.
Oh my God.
gross.
Her response to that was kind of amazing to Senator Allen. She said, "I would not have expected that I, who am barely out of savagery, would have to remind gentlemen with 5,000 years of recorded civilization behind them of our Bill of Rights."
Yeah.
That gave me chills.
Yes.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Girl.
She testified last in defense of the act, and whatever she said, she was able to move the entire assembly. Some people say that there was cheers everywhere and standing ovation, and her work resulted in Alaska being the very first state to pass anti-discrimination legislation. So it did pass in 1945.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
We have some more women we want to talk about, listeners, but first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Rant for a sec.
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Let's get into the interview.
To put that into perspective, we didn't really have, I'm originally from the South, Arkansas specifically. Mm-hmm. We had segregation until the 70s.
Right.
So,
yeah.
This act was very ahead of its time.
Right. Oh, yeah. It looked like, and Annie had put in here that it would have been nearly 20 years before the Federal Civil Rights Act would be passed, as well as 14 years before Alaska would become a state, which is phenomenal timing that she was able to push that hard and get that accomplished.
Yeah.
She obviously had some kind of gift of word of speech because she was able to move people who were so set in their ways of thinking of progress or ways of looking at Native people that they would pass this after it had been failed. So I don't know what kind of magical words she used, but
we need her magic
awesome.
Right now.
Yes.
For a few reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that the United States Mint in 2020 will have a $1 coin featuring her. So.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's exciting.
That is very exciting. It looks like her son sculpted a bronze bust in honor of her that's in the state lobby of Alaska as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she is a significant portion to the history of Alaska, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Did you see the We Can Do It? What was that? That wartime.
Oh, the Rosie the
woman,
Riveter?
Annie the Riveter.
Yeah.
They have one for her too, and I like that one a lot.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Oshtish?
Oshtish?
Am I saying that right?
I could not find a pronunciation for her name, unfortunately. So, Oshtish, somebody can correct us. I'm sure somebody will.
I'm sure they will.
They will. You're correct.
Hello. We'll hear from you soon.
Hit me up on Twitter. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, Oshtish, for all in point, like, for the point of going forward, mm-hmm. who are they?
Well, as we were talking about colonization and atrocities.
Yeah.
This is a kind of hard story, but Oshtish was one of the last Bate or Two-Spirit leaders. And I think when I was talking to you, I mentioned transgender, but Two-Spirit isn't directly correlated to transgender. It's the closest English term that we have for it, but that's not exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
In almost all Native cultures had Two-Spirit people, but you weren't just a different gender than the one you were assigned at birth. I say that because that's the term most accepted right now, but oftentimes gender wasn't really defined in Native communities. But you were something more if you were Two-Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a third gender. It was beyond the gender binary.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also given positions of leadership and were highly respected members of their communities. Oshtish was the head of the Bate, the Two-Spirit leaders mm-hmm. in her time. So we mentioned the Battle of the Rosebud mm-hmm. with Buffalo Calf Road Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She actually fought on the other side.
Ah. Mm.
Yeah, so that battle was between the Cheyenne and Lakota Sioux on one side with Crazy Horse and Buffalo Cass Road Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side was the Crow and Shoshone people. So it was a little weird to kind of read the different perspectives in telling their stories, because on the one hand, you have all this bravery from Buffalo Cass Road Woman and celebrating her for being able to turn the battle around. And then when you're talking about Oshkosh, they talk about her prowess and bravery, even though they lost. So it's very interesting. And as usual, it's about land. And there was a graphic I saw the other day about how just from 1776, you can see the number of Native Americans and where they were allowed to be just dwindle across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it forced not only Native people to fight against the colonizers, but also against each other because their lands are being taken away.
Right.
But again, they, Oshkosh and the Crow and Shoshone lost. And eventually the Crow were confined to a reservation. Unfortunately, at the time, there were a lot of missionaries and government agents that kind of ran the reservations. That's not so much the case anymore. Now, sovereign nations have their own government, which is another story.
Right.
At the time, people did not accept Two-Spirit people. It was outside their sensibilities, the nicest way I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like in the boarding schools and the residential schools, hair was cut off. Two-Spirit people were forced to wear men's clothes and do quote-unquote men's work. And in the face of that, Oshkosh wore ornate dresses with pride. And when asked what kind of work she always said she did women's work. She was one of the last Two-Spirit people across all Native cultures to be alive. It was effectively wiped out for the most part between boarding schools and residential schools and just people dying off. And unfortunately, a lot of Two-Spirit people walked on before their time. Mm. I think Kat Schmendrith.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to talk about these kinds of situations because it's easy to get really emotional and go off. But that's what, it's not going to bring anyone back to life. And it's just really tough to read about these situations.
Right.
You just have all this anger that has nowhere to go.
Right. I mean, obviously, you have somewhere to go. Here. Because it's true. It is infuriating to see that as a culture, what that was accepted then was taken away from them because of a bigotry idea of what is normal.
Right.
Which, of course, again, we're having to come back to and have conversations about, and we're nowhere near progressing, especially when it comes to, as you say, the two-gendered and as transgender, as we know it, or that's the best way we can identify with it, I guess, that it's still such a fight to understand bigger than the scope of gender and being gendered in general.
Yeah. And the really hard thing is that even though there are a lot of moves to revitalize cultural practices, a lot of the information is lost. The Bate passed down, the Two-Spirit leaders passed down a lot of information amongst themselves. And if they're all gone and nothing's written,
right,
what's there for us to revitalize?
Mm.
So we have people who are Two-Spirit and those things that are kind of becoming more acceptable again, but what's missing is the medicine, the leadership, the tradition that came along with it. So, like other things that Native people are trying to revitalize, we can only kind of look at things as a guide and then do what we can with it in the scope of our modern cultures.
Right. So this is one of those lessons that we have to learn and look back and make sure that history doesn't repeat itself. and erasing a culture or an idea or peoples in general, which is infuriating and heartbreaking in all the same ways and different ways, I guess, not same ways.
Yeah.
But I did read, so we are reading that the Crow tribe did stand behind her when she refused to conform to the European roles that they were trying to place on them.
Oh, they absolutely stood and supported her.
That is awesome.
Because she was a leader, and they had already seen what she could do. She more than earned her position. Unfortunately, later in her life, she faced some kickbacks.
Right.
When we talk about the residential schools and boarding schools, they were, there's really no nice way to say it. They were horrific.
Yeah.
People were brainwashed and tortured. And one of the things that they did effectively was take a whole generation of Native people and make them feel inadequate or that their practices were outdated. And that's still something we're struggling with to this day.
Right.
Because there's a generational gap between knowledge. So you have that one, the last generation to fight, and then the generations that lived and grew up through the boarding school systems, and then our generation who's trying to revitalize the tradition. And so a lot of people, I've heard them talk about, they try to talk to their grandmothers about certain practices, and they're very resistant. We don't do that anymore. Not all people who went to the residential schools and boarding schools are like that, but under that kind of psychological torture, I can't say anything about the people who kind of changed or assimilated, because that's just a survival skill.
Absolutely.
You have to, if you're going to die or be tortured, you have to assimilate.
Right. And that is exactly what colonization was, to bring the shame factor of there's only one culture that is correct, and it is whatever the strongest or the most forceful culture at that point in time, which is absolutely kind of this whole whitewashing of history for so many cultures in general. And I mean whitewashing. And it is. It is a horrific thing that it brings on a shame factor for those who have a different take or different understanding and different culture and different background, which is, yeah, you're right. This is unfortunate. And it's interesting to just hear that perspective from you about how your generation is coming in trying to relearn, but you are battling with the still shame factor from the past generations that they were taught or they were tortured or they're forced on to them, which is, yeah, I've never actually thought about that in the bigger picture.
It's something that you don't see normally, especially if you're not connected to a Native community.
Right.
So some of my friends are Inupiat in Alaska, and they have the traditional chin tattoo. And there are some women in the community who are older who see it as a bad thing because that's something they left behind. They've evolved past that now. But more and more women are getting those traditional tattoos, and I think it's absolutely beautiful that they're able to. It really came from, I think, one book or one recorded book about tattooing and how they did it and what the different clans and people had different patterns. And I guess they're just kind of building it up from there.
Right. And what you're doing with bringing it forward and talking about the history is also very, very important, so we can see and recognize the tragedy that happens when you oppress a culture and a society, and the history that is lost on that as well. So good job, Natalie.
Honestly, I am absolutely not an expert in any of these cultures and any of these specific tribes. They're not mine.
Right.
Any one on this list, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, I am mixed, even if I am significantly indigenous. But I'm having to reconnect later in life anyway. And it's only because I have talked to people who grew up within their cultures and made actual steps to educate myself that I can even speak on it.
Right.
Right. But I think what's, and yes, there are definitely a lot of experts out there, but coming out and having conversations and making sure people still know or at least understand the bigger history is phenomenal in itself. And also, yes, you definitely have a drive, which is beautiful, to make sure.
Honestly, if anyone, this knowledge, this information is available to everyone.
Right. Which should be. We should have more stuff on this. Moving on to the next person. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to say this name. Talk me, Tony.
Tokutonai.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure it's Tokutonai again. I might be wrong, but she is Paiute. But she was an advocate for her people and also an author. She was one of the first, well, I think she was the first published Native American woman. She published a book called Life Among the Paiute, Their Wrongs and Claims in 1883.
Wow.
She witnessed a lot of atrocities and violence against her people and always spoke out against her treatment. And when I say she spoke out, she gave over 300 speeches on the maltreatment of Native peoples.
Wow.
She lived through the Bannock War of 1878 and rescued a group of Paiute people, including her father, and continued to speak out even after she and a group of Paiute were forcibly located to the Yakima Reservation. Until her death, Tokutonai fought for land rights and human rights of Native people. It might not be a surprise to her people, as she came from a line of leaders as the daughter of a chief and the granddaughter of Chief Truckee. Unfortunately, there's not too much information I could find on her beyond that, but we still have her writings, and her book is still available. So that's plus. And for sure, I know that the Paiute people talk about her a lot in there in Nevada.
300 speeches.
Right.
It's impressive.
That's impressive. Speaking out in the 1800s, too. You're like, what? As an indigenous female. What? That takes a lot of courage.
She was part of the fight.
For women to speak out in our communities, it is not an abnormal thing.
Right.
But when you're facing a culture that is kind of the opposite, especially in the 1800s, I'm sure that was very odd to look at, having all this freedom and respect as a Native woman and then seeing the culture that you were trying to be forced into.
Yeah.
I could only imagine.
I want to read her book.
Yeah.
Really badly.
I need to find that book. Next on the book club.
There you go. Add it to the list.
On our list that we haven't started.
I have a list.
I know you have. And then we wanted to talk about Madonna Thunderhawk.
There's one before that.
Oh, sorry. Which one?
It's okay.
I'm really excited.
Is it Colossa or Redbird? Was a Youngstown, Dakota Sioux.
Okay.
And she's another writer, but she's also a musician and activist. Her books were among the first to spread traditional Native stories, and she even wrote part of the first Native American opera called the Sundance Opera in 1913. While her writings of her experiences with boarding schools, life, and stories are probably enough to make her a historical figure, Zitlasha founded the National Council for American Indians in 1926, and this enabled her to lobby for Native rights to United States citizenship and civil rights. She served as president until her death in 1938.
Wow.
So we have another strong woman in leadership, not just in the tribe, but outside of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another. I don't know if the opera is put into a book, but I'm sure she wrote other books that you can add to your list.
I think she was pretty prolific. As she wrote, and I according from what I found, the Atlantic Monthly and Harper's Monthly. So yeah, that's, I think some of her works are out there. People should definitely go check them out.
Yeah, Zakala Shaw was also just a beautiful orange. She is another image of indigenous native strength and perseverance. I don't know, I want posters of, like, you know, as a kid, you have all those posters of bands and stuff on your wall.
Right.
I kind of want to put all these women on my wall.
That'd be awesome.
You can put it on your phone now as a motivation.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
not on the walls anymore. It's on your phone as you open it up.
My room is still covered in posters. I don't know what you're saying.
Your house is covered in posters. You're correct. Never mind.
I haven't graduated from that stage.
On my wall.
I do too.
You can put it on the ceiling too, so you wake up and the first thing you see is all these amazing women.
Yeah, that'd be better than what I have. But
do you have something on your ceiling?
I do have something on my ceiling. Eventually you just run out of space and you have to put stuff on the ceiling.
I've never been there, but okay.
Oh, that's my entire life. But I like this idea much better, Natalie. This is more than like Harry Potter and Star Wars. Perhaps more motivating.
It's more realistic.
Giving you ideas.
you are.
Actually, this is probably better than what she's got, so keep giving her the ideas.
It'd be more work appropriate. At least I could be like, well,
these are the
I'm
people.
Trying to better myself by looking at these motivational, inspirational women.
Yeah. Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Next, before we get over more ideas. Now we're down to, Madonna Thunderhawk?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about her.
She's the last person on the list, and of everyone on the list, she's actually still alive.
Yay.
I don't
know why I said that. Ignore that part.
I mean, being alive is good.
I mean, being alive is, congratulations. Not that being dead is bad. You know, whatever. You know.
To be fair, she lived through a lot of crazy things. Mm-hmm. So she is Cheyenne River Sioux and from South Dakota. I think she's still in South Dakota. So she is not only alive, that organized the protest against the Dakota Pipeline in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like 75.
Wow.
She organized that.
Yeah.
Oh, she's 78 and she doesn't look it by the pictures I've seen. And I have no doubt she's 1,000% a woman to be reckoned with. When I read through everything she's seen and taken part in, I just cannot imagine what it's like to have lived through all these things and still have all the fire that she still does. She was part of the Red Power movement, which I didn't even know was a thing. It makes sense. It was the 60s and 70s, so you had Black Power. I guess Red Power goes right along with it. Her first foray, as far as I found, was protesting during the 1969 to 1971 occupation of Alcatraz. I had never heard of it, but apparently there was a treaty between the government and the Lakota people that called the Treaty of Fort Laramie that said all retired, abandoned, or out-of-use federal land was to be returned to the Lakota who once occupied it. And so they moved there from 1969 to 71. And probably not a surprise that the protest wasn't successful. The United States is not really known for giving land back.
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind that she also went through this as well. Wounded Knee is, I don't know if I want to call it soul crushing. It's one of those moments that hurts a lot. And if you've read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, you might know why it's so bad, but I highly recommend everyone read it. I think it should be required reading in high school, personally. But I don't know if
our government in this current climate is ready for me to put that in school. So, but even after that, like I said, this woman has so much stamina and so much perseverance. I just can't. She served as the director of the Wounded Knee Legal Defense Office Committee in December of 1975. She also founded the Warrior Woman Project and was part of so many more organizations and movements to fight for Native American people and rights. And she's still doing this work.
That's awesome. I mean, another person to look to respect and to be inspired by.
Oh, I would cry if I got to meet her.
The ultimate goal to meet her. Yeah, and obviously she's still, because the pipeline issue hasn't been resolved other than no one's acknowledging it.
To my knowledge, I think the Dakota pipeline is active.
Right.
But we all know that there have been like oil spills and all sorts of problems.
Right.
The pipelines going through Native land are illegal and they violate several treaties, but the strike and other things, Native voices have not had the impact that they should have had. Mm-hmm. Not by their own fault, but by our government and the news media and how things are covered. There's a lot of othering and not a lot of compassion towards Native people.
Right. As I was looking, like, I know some of the Democrats who are running for president have used it as a platform, not their platform, as a promise to shut it down or to reverse some of it. So it's still a big issue, but not big enough that they're talking about it on debates right now, which is sad. And obviously really, really, I don't know what else, other than, yeah, it's just about right. It's not as important to some people as it should be about the lives that are affecting, but it's absolutely something that's still having to be fought for. And obviously we know, as you just said, she's been fighting for, and I'm sure has continued to be a big voice in pushing that as a conversation that we need to have more of.
Yeah. And she has seen some real, real bloodshed. Part of my Red November project is talking about violent language that's still used in the media that inspires violence in real life. Mm-hmm. And for her to see some of the most horrific moments in American history or modern, whatever this period of American history is, and still be fighting really is indicative of so much strength. I don't know. That's something really common when you hear these stories, especially Native women. They see these awful things. They see this genocide. And then in the face of genocide, women are standing up and speaking out. And that's why it's so important to, one, read about Native American history, take part in as much as you can to talk about some of the things and actually listen when Native Americans talk about issues that are facing them. It's just a lot.
Right.
We do have a little bit more for you listeners, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
So you had mentioned earlier that there's obviously, and we can all definitely research, but what would you point at someone that wants to learn more of the histories and the behind the scenes? Where would you point them? Is there a certain, like, reference books or is that too old dated?
Reference books?
I know. Who uses books anymore?
People do. Resources.
Resources. Thank you. Books. I think of books.
No,
okay,
books
I'm that
good.
Old. I'm that
Don't
old.
Don't come out against books.
I used the encyclopedia for most of middle school, okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, and when I say encyclopedia, I mean hardbound Britannica encyclopedias.
Dewey Decimal System. Yeah.
So don't date me. But resources that you would point them to.
So, I would recommend if you really want to know what Native history is like and why all of us are so passionate about it, I think diving in headfirst is the best way to do it because we are living this reality. And if it's shocking to you, imagine what it's like for us to see all the erasure that our people have faced and see it continuing now. So a good place to start to really get a handle on how much effort has been put into eliminating Native people, bury my heart, it wounded me, is a book that's probably the best place to start. There's a narrative that I've heard of Native Americans fought against each other, so it's not a big deal that the United States also, the colonial people also fought them, but it is completely different. We're talking about systemic genocide as opposed to what kind of amounts to land scuffle. And I will warn you that there are some things in Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee that are graphic, but it's absolutely necessary to hear those things.
And usually, again, history like this, atrocities like this, and again, as you said, genocide is going to be graphic. So to expect less would be you're looking at a really unrealistic version of history.
Right. It would be like learning about the Holocaust without learning about anything that happened at concentration camps.
Right. Which is absurd in itself. Well, thank you so much, Natalie. I'm so glad that we got to connect and that you were able to speak with us. Is there anything else you want to add or you want to voice about what we're talking about?
I will say one thing.
Go ahead.
I kind of challenge my listeners to do this. If you are not connected to a Native community or any friends who are Native, I encourage you to, on Instagram or Twitter, follow 5 Indigenous people. And just as you're looking through your feed and as you're learning and hearing from these people, I guarantee you it won't take very long for you to realize that there are some things going on you might not be aware of. And I think that's kind of applies to all ethnic groups. It's a good idea to know what's happening and be aware and get out of our little bubbles. But it's very important, I think, to make sure you are paying attention to Native voices
especially being on the land of people who are still here, if that makes sense.
No, that's amazing. I love that. That's a great challenge. And I think absolutely I would voice that and agree with you. That is to start.
Yeah.
to start with, mm-hmm. do that. And Natalie, where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Some Kind of Brown. My podcast, Some Kind of Brown, is on basically all the podcasters. I have a teenager website. For a teenager, because it still has the .wordpress.com. So it's Some Kind of Brown .wordpress.com, and it has all the episodes that I have had so far. And you can find out more about November or any of the guests or episodes that I've had on there too.
Amazing. Thank you again. You are awesome.
Yes.
And I'm sure we're going to keep in connection. Yes, we want you to know we support everything you're doing, and we want to make sure that you know that we over here at Sminty love what you're doing and are very grateful that you're doing it.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. I do want to say my girlfriend is a big fan of your podcast.
Aw.
Yay.
Tell her hello.
Tell her hello.
Yeah.
She is a transgender woman, and something that I think I really appreciate about your podcast is it's just about being a woman without necessarily putting a limit on what that means. And I think that's really comforting for people who are transgender women to just have this place where they can talk about femininity and being a woman in at the same time be included in the narrative.
That brings us to the end of this, another delightful interview with all of you listeners. I'm always so impressed and inspired and awe
right.
the things that you all are doing. So keep letting us know
right.
what you're up to. We love hearing about it. And as Natalie said, probably everybody on this list, we could have talked about a whole episode.
Right. It's not, as she had said before, even though I was like, oh, yeah, it's a big list. It is. It really isn't. And it's probably an endless list of people that we could talk about who identified as female or non-binary that needs to be recognized, that we need to be talking about, and that their history does need to be preserved and the things that they have done for their community as well as for their culture. And I think I'm very sad that we don't have all the information that we absolutely should. And this is the first time I've heard of probably about four of those women. This is the
right.
first time I've ever talked about that.
Yeah.
And that makes me really sad.
Yeah. Natalie said she had an entire spreadsheet of women and she had to choose. Like, I appreciate the difficulty of that, Natalie, if you're listening to this now. I've been in that situation, not similar, but
right.
been like, pick of all of these amazing women, pick the three best. And you're like,
here's just movies.
And other things.
Right now, all I can think of is movies because we've been talking about movies.
Yes, yes. but I also have more important items in my brain sometimes.
I absolutely believe you.
But yeah, I would love to hear about every single woman on that spreadsheet.
Yes.
So we'll see if we can.
We should have just gotten that so we can publish it.
Well, you can ask Natalie. Maybe she doesn't want to share her secrets.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm putting that on my show. If not, you should definitely go listen to her show.
You should absolutely do that because, as you said, we all need to know these stories, and
right.
they're so valuable and inspiring.
They are.
Yes. So if you would like to email us with whatever you're up to or people we should be talking about, whatever's on your mind, you can do that. Our email is stuffmedia.momstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can also find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffImNeverToldYou. Thanks to Natalie for being our wonderful interviewee.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew, our super producer.
Another thank you.
And thank you for listening.
Yes.
Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring. like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. This episode is brought to you by Pedigree.
If you've been looking for love at first sight, it is closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.